A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back to the House of Pod. My name is Kaveh Hoda. I am your host. Today, we're going to be concluding the story of Lucy Letby. That's the nurse in England that's been convicted of the murder of multiple infants that were under her care in the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit. If you haven't already done so, you really should listen to the first episode. It'll make this make a lot more sense. And I'm again going to warn listeners that we're covering very dark material here. We're going to try to laugh our way through it. It's one of those, you know, you're either laughing or crying situations. So either way, I'm going to understand completely if you have to skip this episode. I'll get it. Before we get started, I do want to remind you to rate and review us on iTunes. I love it when you guys do that. Tell your friends. You can also send me an email at hopquestions@gmail.com. Speaking of which, I'm going to read an email from a listener about the first episode. This is an email from Jesse. Thanks for the latest episode. I'm a physio working in the UK, and I think grim humor, spelled H-U-M-O-U-R, Jesus, Jesse, come on, is a good way to process it. I'm guessing you've already recorded the whole episode, but just so you know, most hospitals in the UK are public through the NHS. There are some private hospitals, but there are not many of them. Decades of neoliberalism mean that some of the services in some public hospitals have been outsourced, but healthcare is still delivered free on point of contact. As you note, trusts, that's something we discussed in the last episode with Rebecca. She had a question about that. As you note, trusts are what they call the overarching governing body for a particular area. I'm actually Canadian, so there are some nuances that are beyond me, but that's kind of how it works. Thanks again, Jesse. Okay, thank you for that email. If there's anything else that you guys want to add about these episodes or correct, please let me know. Send emails to hopquestions@gmail.com. God, I kind of love this little time together, just you and me, you know? But we should get on with the show. Anyways, let's recap real quick. At this point in the episode, the police have finally gotten involved after the death of at least 7 infants. That's at the time of this recording. Probably more will be discovered as we go along. Anyways, here you go. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
So keep in mind that while this investigation is ongoing, she's still working the patient safety office. But Dr. Breary starts this whole thing. Again, I think he's kind of a badass. And some of this I had to read into. So, and I would love to get him on the show, but like a real doctor, he has no social media presence. Mm-hmm. He's not like
Mark,
me.
That's how you know he's a good real
doctor. That's how you know he's a good doctor. He is not like me. He does not have a podcast called like the Letby Kit
Files or
whatever. That's
what people need to be prescribing, right? Like you need antibiotics or you'll die, but you can't get them until you agree to get off of TikTok. Like cancel your Twitter and you can have your liver meds.
Yeah. He's a smart guy. So he's on his own going through the old medical records and he checks an old blood test from 2015. From one of the babies on his unit. And what he saw was dangerous levels of insulin in that patient. Now, insulin levels in a patient can be high, and that can be because of endogenous creation. The body's making too much. You're going to have a problem that's creating that. But if you are getting that medicine exogenously, which means from the outside, from an IV or from someone giving it to you, there is a way to check for that. And that is looking for the C-peptide. So when you make your own, you make your own insulin, you tend to make the substance called C-peptide along with it. And that's a way to tell if someone's taking too much insulin or if the body's making too much insulin. Because if your insulin level is really high, but your C-peptide level is low or zero, that means that the insulin is coming from outside the body. This is actually a test question I had in medical school. I remember it.
So that's also why you shouldn't trust recipes that say, if you can't do homemade, store-bought is fine. It's different. It's different. You're missing the C-peptides. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Continue. That's right. Very good. I'm very proud of you for that one.
Thank you.
So at this point, this is what seems to get the police. Okay, well, now we can do something about this. This gets the police interest to the level where they can actually start an eventual investigation. Through this,
like, not all the dead babies where she was the only person that is the same thing.
Apparently,
but
all coincidental.
But the C-peptides.
Exactly. Okay. They have evidence that maybe there's something special about this. Yeah, I agree. Right.
Because
ridiculous.
The other stuff is circumstantial. I know that from watching all of my true
That's
crime stuff.
That's
circumstantial, very difficult for a jury to buy. But if you different. Have, like, This sounds like this is the DNA evidence that's going to convince the cops and maybe a jury.
This is the sciencey stuff. Everything before was just mean doctors being mean about stuff.
Just coincidences.
And so through this investigation, they're going to find that the insulin was one of the ways she did it. She also injected air into the bloodstream. She overfed with milk. And there was
Is that like I know that, like, because of the lactase or something in it, if, like, you drink a certain amount of milk, you'll puke. Is it like babies are just more vulnerable? So the same thing, like, kills them?
Yeah, and too much of any liquid. Anything.
Well, sure. Yeah. That. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But
So was she literally giving them, like, because I know you can get, like, it's called water intoxication, I think. But, like,
you can.
That
takes
a lot. Was she, like, giving them that much milk, like enough milk that they?
I'm gonna tell you the truth. She did that. She did impact trauma. She did a lot of things that honestly I can't talk about because it will induce in me a fucking rage that scares me a little bit, quite honestly. And just reading about this alone has probably given me irreversible psychological damage. That's fucked me up. But yes, that's what she was doing. And if you give anyone too much water, as you mentioned, you can kill them. Hyponatremia is what happens. I mean, you may have heard of that case of that the mother in Sacramento who was part of that who drank a bunch of water.
Was that Sacramento? I thought that was near where I grew up. I thought that was in, like, DFW area.
It may have been, but there was definitely one in Sacramento.
I don't know about either of these cases. What is this? What's we for we?
Basically, she drank a lot of water.
Oh, yeah, Cordova, you're right.
Yeah, and she basically held the water. I mean, she was basically how long you can drink water and not pee before you had to. The person who could drink the most water and not pee won in like a week.
Oh, it was a contest.
Yeah, it was a contest.
Oh, for a
week. For a radio contest. Yeah, I'm sorry. Wii, the old Nintendo thing. Anyways.
Yeah.
But also just the sheer, like, input of all that milk. And as you mentioned, the baby, it's almost like a neonatal. It's like a refeeding syndrome. You have to be careful. You have to be really gentle with how much you feed them. There's very specific There's a reason that didn't go into pediatrics. It's because there's lots of fucking math. Because you have to, like, calculate, like, how much can I give them at this rate, etc., where it won't be, like, unhealthy for them. Anyways, she just poured it in because she's an evil fucking bitch. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to editorialize
that. That's okay. We're with you.
Okay. Eventually, the police arrest her. So this is all, like, 3 years after Dr. Brary raises the first alarm. They go to her house. They find loads of patient information under her bed. that in and of itself is insane. Hundreds of like medical documents, which you'd never take home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never take home. It's just crazy to me. And she has the names of the kids who died. And she has.
And now we get back to that serial killer shit where they like to take tokens of their victims.
Yes, yes. So what she basically did was in her diary, along with some really routine, benign stuff like, you know, oh, salsa lessons at 7. She also writes the initials of the kids that died and on the day they died. She writes stuff in her diary like, oh, this is really amazing. Like she writes these like phrases like, I am evil. And she has this little tiny green post-it note, which has like all these words like, I don't deserve to live. Literally, this is quote, I killed them on purpose because I'm not good enough to care for them.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Well, that she's got a, well, I don't know. Why would you lie about that specifically? So I guess, I don't know. But well, that seems like nonsense.
Wow. Yeah. Like I'm trying to, I'm like, my brain is sort of clutching around for what's the psychology behind that? Like, is that true? Like this is all stems from her feeling like she's not good enough to be a nurse. And so she's going to do the opposite.
That's the part that's mind blowing in that, like, I cannot wrap my head around. Like, from all accounts, she was a capable nurse. Like, she could have taken care of them if she wanted to. If she wanted to, it seems like she had the ability to do so. But she didn't feel like she did, or she didn't want to for whatever reason, effort it takes.
Or she thought that was like too easy and that bringing them to the brink of death, then she maybe tries to save them, but she can't. And that's why they end up dying. And so she's kind of feeding into this idea that she's not good enough. Because like, oh, I can keep these babies alive if they are relatively stable when they come in, but what if they are literally about to die? Can I save them?
So it's a really good question.
I'm just
really
throwing it out there.
It's a really good question. And I think part of what goes against that though is that she was seen by one pediatrician at least watching a baby.
Right. But maybe she was like
waiting to get to a point. Like,
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
That's the thing, though. When that happens, at that point, the doctor comes in and takes over the show. And he's using the nurse and help and working with the nurse, but he's the one running the show. So was she like maybe testing their abilities in some way? I don't know. Right. I want to make it clear.
I don't know. I was just thinking about all those moms who like kill their whole families. Mm-hmm. And how the justification is often like, I thought something terrible was going to happen, or this, I didn't want them to, you know, go into the foster system, or I didn't want them to deal with, you know, I thought like the devil was coming back or some shit. Like, I don't know. It's like the excuse she's coming up with sounds kind of like that. I don't know, but maybe I'm.
Well, and also like she's in her mid-20s now. Is that right?
Late 20s. Yeah.
And like, but it's kind of started early to mid-20s.
Yeah.
And I might be wrong about this. I did take an intro to psychology class in college, it's my understanding that it is in the early 20s when a lot of women, if they have some kind of psychosis happening, that's when it tends to present itself. I might be wrong about that, but...
It's a good question. She's not gotten any diagnosis of that as of yet. That could change. She has denied this. I mean, she's denied all this, by the way. She says she's a victim of a conspiracy. She says all that stuff that was written in her diary was basically train of thought type stuff with dealing with her like emotions processing the death of these kids. She's never admitted to any wrongdoing. But I mean... Listen,
I'm very skeptical of the judicial system in general, but sometimes the evidence is overwhelming.
It's right. And why would you keep souvenirs? Like, that's fucking, that's the thing that serial, I mean, I guess I'm glad they do that, but that's like a serial killer thing. You have to keep some souvenir of the thing, right? You know, what's really funny to me, it's about like, you know, her, like you can see this, you can see like they have the police camera footage of when they go in and arrest her. And the crazy thing about her room is that it's like bright and it's like very girly. And there's like stuffed animals. There's like a dumb
horses.
There's like a dumb sign on the wall that says shine like a diamond that and leave sparkle live, laugh, wherever love. You go. Exactly. It's like, it's fucking crazy. You know what I mean? So anyways, she gets arrested. The evidence is overwhelmingly against her. Why it takes a fucking year is still hard for me to understand, but there's a lot about fucking the English system that doesn't make sense to me. The part that really is important to me is what happens to the fucking management of this whole
thing,
the senior management. A lot of them were replaced, but not completely. The trust, this whole organization behind it, seems to be the same people. They did get a new medical director, Tony Chambers, the medical director that was there for the whole time. He releases the statement saying, oh, my thoughts are with the children at the heart of this case. I'm truly sorry for what these families have gone through, but nothing that takes ownership for it. They get a new medical director, Dr. Susan Gilby. She comes in to work, you know, and she's fucking shocked by what she sees. She's just like, this is a mess. No one's reporting things to the trust. The trust is not acting on what they do know. She actually says that her predecessor, Ian Harvey, had warned her like, hey, you should sue the doctors. And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's crazy. Anyways, this is an ongoing thing there. It's a complete, the hospital is a wreck. Since Letby was taken away, there's been one death in the neonatal unit. Now, and I should...
This was over the past several years.
Correct. It's been, because it's been going for a while. Yeah. I should mention that after Letby left, the hospital no longer takes care of really sick patients. Those get sent to other hospitals.
Good.
Because they fucking lost that right.
Yeah. Yeah.
This hospital.
They should be a fucking vape shop. They should be selling vapes and skateboard ball bearings. Like that should be what they sell now.
Look, I get what you're saying, but I think that's an honorable trade. I'm a big vape shop guy.
As
advocate.
Are we all. Like, yeah. Love those guys, but I wouldn't trust them with my baby.
The comic guy of a new era. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like, at least the baby won't learn to smoke.
I guess if I'm going to nip next door to the liquor store, I can leave the baby on the counter for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And that would be more trustworthy than leaving the baby with these fuckers.
I need you to watch this baby. Look, only give him natural tobacco flavored vapes. I don't want him getting on any of the candy shit. Yeah. That's going to be bad for him.
And you know, I don't know if I need to say this, but don't inject him with insulin. I don't know. I just, if you were thinking of that.
Just it's okay, man. I'm not allowed around needles anymore. All right. Thanks, buddy.
I want to make you mentioned like this era's comic book guy. Quick aside, has nothing to do with the rest of the show, but I just want to share this with somebody. I took my 9-year-old son to a comic book store recently, and in this comic book store there was one of those old-fashioned comic book nerds. Like, my son went to ask him about a comic book. He's like, which one of these has this storyline in it? And the guy was like, well, you see, the storyline here is the relationship to the Marvel, you know. And he went on for like a long time. I pulled my son aside and I said, son, I want you to appreciate something right now. What you just met was a dying breed of
dinosaur.
Man.
Yeah.
The comic book nerd. Like, we used to tell tales about him. Before the internet, there was just a man who just knew every comic book because he fucking studied every fucking comic book. And I was like, I want you to appreciate this. And my son, and I've never been more proud of him, was just like, okay, yeah, I get it. And he went back to ask him questions. Sorry, there's nothing to do with anything, but I had to share that with somebody.
All right. So, you should go to Cape and Cal in Oakland, by the way. It's like they have that guy, but he's cool. He rides a skateboard, actually.
Cape and Cal. No.
Cape and Cal in Oakland.
Not sponsors of the show yet.
No, but they're fucking awesome. I love them.
Fucking right on. Okay. Yeah. So anyways, Lucy Letby got what is called a whole life term. It sounds like an insurance term.
It does.
Actually, it's a thing they say in England. And again, she's only the fourth woman in the history of the country to get that. And as to really say fuck you to the families. She didn't even show up in court to face the closing statements and like the testimonials.
Like the victim impact statements.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the word. They shouldn't even do that. And there are a lot of people who still believe that she is an innocent victim. Like I went on and saw a couple of different Twitter profiles that are set up just to defend her. And there's lots of people who are like, she's being railroaded by conspiracy, yeah, by the NHS, et cetera. And it's
people are also eating horse paste for COVID. They'll be dead soon.
I was going to say, I didn't do this, but if I digged probably a little bit harder, I'd probably find some overlap in the Venn diagram with them and anti-vaxxers. So, you know, why did this happen? I mean, we talked about this a little bit. It was very auspicious, the dates these babies died on. They tend to die on term dates, like 100 days, for example, like when the babies were supposed to be born and people thought, okay, where things are getting better. Things are supposed to be good now. Oh. We're going the right direction. That's when it happened. So the prosecution, what they had argued, which I think is weird, was that she had done it because she had an infatuation with one of the male doctors, not Dr. Brewery, but one of the other male doctors. What she would text him all the time. She'd text him multiple times in the middle of the night. Some of them are flirtatious.
So like making the baby's code would force him to come in and interact with her.
Yes, exactly. And when the police investigated her place, they found some love notes. They're all kind of vague to me. I mean, I didn't know what to make. I don't think that's the major thing. But when they questioned her about it, what's interesting was she was very stone-faced for the first part of the trial. The first time she broke down was when they had the doctor that she supposedly had a crush on, and he was giving testimony about her. That's when she broke down for the first time. And she's like, I can't take this. I got to leave. And she just tried to leave. Like multiple points, she just tried to get up and leave like the courtroom. They're like, no, you can't. You can't do that.
No, you're actually under arrest still.
Right. You can't just leave, you know?
She's like, you know what? I don't like this anymore. I'm just going home. Bye. And it turns out it's like Air Bud, where like the English court system didn't write the rules the right way. They never expected somebody to just peace out of a trial. And they're like, actually,
we have no rules against someone just walking away.
There's no rule. If she wants to leave, there's no rule against it. So she's free today, actually.
So it's unclear why she did it. You know, was it a compulsion? Yeah. I don't know. She wasn't very good at it. She did falsify some records along the way to try and throw off suspicion. But in the modern world of charting, that is thankfully very hard to do. I mean, she wasn't an aggressive person, antisocial, hostile, weird, or cantankerous in any way. No trauma as far as we know. No, not a victim of abuse. No criminal history. I mean, it was at some point in the trial, you know, clearly established that she did have some anxiety and depression. But Jesus Christ, at this point in medicine, same. Who the fuck doesn't?
And
in the world in general.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting though to me more than like I can actually accept that she just there was some kind of psychotic break, something went wrong. Again, I've only had one intro to psych class, but to expert. Me I am the expert on this show, but to me the thing that is harder for me to wrestle with, although there is a path for me to figure it out for myself, which is that like when things go wrong in the medical arena in the US, there's a running joke on my YouTube and my Twitch is that the problem is capitalism. It's pretty much always capitalism. And the UK, they actually have the thing that I would like here, you know, a single payer healthcare system that should resolve a huge number of the problems we have here. But in this case, the problem wasn't, you know, patients going bankrupt and what, or people just not seeking out medical help because of the cost. The normal things that I blame capitalism for. In this case, the problem seems to have been bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. And I do know that that's not unique to the United States healthcare system because I've read a lot of Douglas Adams. And so I know that the UK prides themselves on their ridiculous serpentine bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. And I want to go towards that, plus maybe even like their draconian libel and defamation laws, like the fact that they were like the leadership was so scared to just get rid of this lady and hire literally anybody else. The only thing I can blame for that is like they're afraid of getting sued, but I don't know. But
yeah, no, I assumed that they were afraid of this person suing them because, I mean, she probably was able to make the argument that there is no evidence that they could really use against her. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much of it was that and how much of it was just them not paying attention to the doctors who were very clearly like very upfront about this, you know, and I reached out online to my friends in the UK through the interwebs to talk to them. And a recurring theme was that there's just so much bureaucracy. They feel that the doctors, there was no shock to any of them that the doctors were treated this way during this process. So I don't know. I mean, it might help to look at a similar case in the past to look at some of her motivations. So I tried to see if there was something nearby, and there was. There was actually another British nurse by the name of Beverly.
The Angel of Death?
Very good. Beverly Allitt, mm-hmm. the nurse at Grantham and Kesteven Hospital in Lincolnshire.
Yep, she's a true crime mainstay, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, well, sure.
There you go.
I'm sure mm-hmm. this one will be eventually soon. Lucy will be at some point. She was convicted of murdering 4 infants and trying to murder 3 more in 1991. She was dubbed the Angel of Death. She also did insulin into the babies. Lots of parallels there. Insulin. I mean, that's I don't know if it's a copycat case. Some people said it was a copycat case, but I think it's just like, that's the easiest thing. You're in medicine.
Right.
Like,
you've got it at hand.
Yeah. It's kind of it's a no-brainer. The error. But what she was diagnosed with, though, was something called Munchausen by proxy. So you guys remember Baron Munchausen, the early 90s smash hit by Terry Gilliam?
Erica.
Yeah, I'm imagining, you know, and Kaveh, you can correct me if I'm wrong mm-hmm. here, because you went to a lot more medical school than I did. But this is some sort of disorder whereby your face distorts into the character from the Terry Gilliam movie, and you gain the miraculous ability to have adventures around, I want to say like, it was later than Renaissance era Europe. I don't remember much about Baron Munchausen.
It was the Ottoman War. I think it was the Ottoman War.
It was the Ottoman War. That's right.
Yeah. That's exactly it. That's what all of medicine boils down to. So,
I've been saying we should invade Anatolia for years. So You have.
Yeah.
Famously very known for this.
They were probably fighting them in the Balkans, right? Sorry. Anyway.
No, I think that was it. I don't know. We have to go back. We should watch that movie together because, by the way, I remember it being a fantastic movie. And Baron Munchausen and Munchausen by proxy is one of my favorite medical words. I think the only one that beats it is Mittelschmerz. Mittelschmerz. Are you guys familiar?
What's Mittelschmerz?
It's like the pain women get with ovulation. Some women get pain when the egg
bursts
out.
Oh, yeah. It's what? Yeah, it fucking sucks.
Yeah, you get some Mittelschmerz? Yeah.
I've had Mittelschmerz, and it hurts like a motherfucker.
How is that what it's called?
It's a guy named Middle Schmertz was the guy first guy to just write about it.
That sounds like a like the bad guy from Dora the Explorer or something. Like
well, Middle Schmertz is gonna steal Middle your Schmertz. Yeah.
I will say I think mathematicians have you guys beat, because in arithmetic geometry, there's an algorithm called the cocksucker machine, because there were these two mathematicians, David Cox and Stephen Zucker, who like became friends during their PhD program and were like, you know, if we come up with a thing together, they'll have to call it like cocksucker. Like yes! It'll be remarkably, yeah, we yes! could actually, like they decided to create an algorithm together. I don't understand.
I'm making a note. Yeah. This is going in my newsletter next week. Cocksucker.
Yeah, it provides a basis up to torsion for the Mordile Weil group of an elliptic surface E to X, where S is isomorphic to the projective line. Like, yeah, I don't know what that means, but I love those guys.
That's fucking fantastic.
I was just last week, I was learning about the hairy ball theorem, which is a mathematical hypothesis. The problem is that if you have a perfect sphere that's covered in hair, you can't comb the hair all in one direction. Eventually, it will swirl. And because of that, that is like the mathematical principle that underlies the reason why Earth will always have cyclones, because we're a sphere where the wind cannot physically always move in one direction and will always at some point form a cyclone.
I did not expect it to be useful. Like when you started this, you were like, it describes a hairy ball if you're combing it. Like, well, no one will ever need to do that. But I guess I was wrong. I'm the fool.
Mm-hmm. And they've also found that if you have a donut shape, what's that called? A torus? You can, like, that fixes the hairy ball problem. You can comb hair so if you have a hairy donut, you can comb it all in one
direction. It's like I've been saying, this is what we should have done with the nukes. We put them all in one place. I'm just going to throw it out here, Ohio, and then blow a hole right in the middle of the earth and no more cyclones.
Done. Yeah. God, I can't believe we have solved so many problems in this podcast.
Yeah.
That's the only one I can remember.
What's on the other side of the world from Ohio, but you know, fuck them.
Just a bunch of ocean. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Who gives a shit?
Atlantic.
Something at least slightly more interesting than Ohio.
Yeah.
The term Munchausen by proxy, I should know.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Is a little dated. You know, we try to get away from naming diseases after random people because they tend to be like fucking Nazis. And we're like, ooh,
it's going to be like, oh, was Baron Munchausen actually a Nazi?
Yeah, he might have been a bad guy.
Terry Gilliam has had some problematic.
Wait, is that
thoughts
true?
On trans people. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. It's really sad because. He once called me a pistol, and I repeat this. I tell the story about it at every party I've ever been to. It was really personally very hard for me to see him do anti-trans stuff.
Dude, this is that's a party. A tell us the story.
I wouldn't have expected it from Gilliam either.
Yeah, me too.
I know.
Like,
I'll do the short version.
John Cleese kind of sucked. Sorry, but
yes, he sucks 100%.
But I always kind of expected that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Eric Idle is apparently still the man.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Oh, he was one of the funniest. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Real quick though. Wait. When did he tell us the party story? We're all hanging out. This is a party.
I met him at Dragon Con. We hit it off. He made me margaritas. We got high, and later on, a friend of mine who was like his handler, my friend told me later, like, Terry was asking about you and was wondering where you were, like, at this other party. And he's like, yeah, she's a real pistol. Really
wait. I'm sorry, though. What the fuck is Dragon Con?
Oh, it's a nerd convention in Atlanta.
Guys, I wasted my life in medical school and medical training.
It actually, it's happening. It happened this past weekend, and I'm pretty sure it's a super spreader event. So I've been seeing all the photos with a mix of like, oh, I miss Dragon Con. And also, you're all going to die of COVID. But Dragon Con's a lot of fun. I've met like all of my best like celebrity stories come from Dragon Con. Like, It's just a fun, it's a fun way to get drunk with the cast of Battlestar Galactica, for instance.
Okay. All right. Okay. It's, what's,
I'm throwing that one out there so that you have me on for a future show where I can
Dragon
tell
Con,
that story.
The Dragon Con. So, okay. You'll forgive me for being the specific type of nerd that was mostly in academia and medicine. So I missed a lot of the other fun nerd stuff. So we in the US, we tend to call it now medical child abuse or
seems very general.
It does, doesn't it? I don't know if I love that one either. Like medical child abuse or medical child abuse. You know what I mean? It could mean, yeah, I agree. The DSM-5 calls it factitious disorder imposed upon another. Or very catchy, FDIA, very catchy.
More specific, okay. But yeah, too long.
I mean, Munchausen by proxy is cooler.
I mean, I'm such a big fan of the FDIC. It's a bummer to know that the prequel is that depressing.
That's right. The best example for someone who wants to understand this, I feel, again, not a psychologist, I'm going to say this for like maybe the third time here, is, do you guys remember the movie Fifth Sense?
The Fifth Element?
No, the one was shit. Fourth? Wait, what's the one with Bruce Willis when he sees dead people?
Did you remember the name of the movie but think that there's something called a Fifth Sense?
He thought it was called a Fifth Sense.
That's what people say. People talk about having a Sixth Sense all the time.
The Fifth Sense was another movie just about somebody who learned that smells are a thing.
Yeah.
They'd had COVID and they were like, wait, you can
guys, yeah, they're like convinced what? That they're convinced that they're special because they have it. Like, guys, I can smell things. Do you know that food has, there's a different thing besides taste to it?
Yeah. Do you know when your butt rumbles, it actually like causes distress in me in a way that you cannot begin to understand?
My ultimate fear has been realized, which is I would introduce two friends and they would like each other more than me.
Well, you know, we're friends now, so, it's over for you.
Yeah. You want to take this to another chat?
yeah, let's just we have another Zoom going at the same time. Yeah. So when we look off camera and we're like, how funny is it that Kaveh just fucked that up? Like, you can still hear us because it's Zoom, but that's our side Zoom.
I deserve that, and it's worth it. You should do it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, that's our side podcast, the House of Pod, comma, but with better haircuts.
That's fine. Pay $20 for this. So, anyways, in the movie The Sixth Sense, so important that there to be six of them. The Sixth Sense. Do you remember there was that one part where the boy, he hears from the little baby girl ghost, hey, this mom is killing my brother and actually killed me. That's Munchausen's by proxy.
Gotcha.
This is a condition in which a caregiver creates the appearance of health problems in another person. It's typically their child. The child receives unnecessary and potentially harmful medical care to a caregiver's overt actions, and that might be anything from just lying about the child's history to actually inducing an illness in the child, which in that movie, the mother did. So it's hard to know exactly how common this is. The estimated annual incidence is about 0.4 to 1.2 per 100,000 kids in the U.S. under 16. That's annual incidence. So every year this probably happens, at least that. And that's probably an underestimation, because these are only cases, these numbers come from only cases that are severe enough to be supported or reported to the CPA, Child Protective Agency. So a lot of times there's probably, this is happening, but we don't know because it's not reported. Doctors do not want to report this and be wrong about it. I cannot express that enough. That is the kind of thing that doctors do not want to put in a file unless they are fucking certain of it, because that opens them up to legal shit.
So the reason why I might be like a psychologist. I took an intro to psychology class in college. I'm not sure if you knew that. But in my perspective, like Munchausen by proxy, it's always been like kind of long-term sole caregivers that have that diagnosis where they are lying about a child or like purposefully hurting the child on a long-term basis. And so there are usually like many times when the child will have problems and then recover. And in this case, it, like, so my question about her, like wanting to save them, it's a little different in my perspective, just because in this case, she is not like the primary caregiver or even the primary medical professional in charge of this child. And there, it doesn't sound like there were a lot of times when the child might like crash and then be brought back and then crash again. It seems more like she's, if she is like hoping to save them, it sounds like she's just trying to bring them absolutely to the brink of death and then like magically save them. But I don't even think that that's, I think no, she's very, trying to kill them probably.
Very, very, very good points. Very good points. And again, it's hard to know. I mean, she could just be, you know, pure evil if that exists and that's all there is to it. But the thought is that she's trying to interject herself into something, like she's trying to create an emotional situation that she can be a part of. Like, oh, I'm here, we're coding this patient that's very sick. Oh no, the patient died. How are we
gonna you said though that they reported that everyone was very upset except for her, like at a big meeting. So that's strange. If she's looking for attention, you'd think that it'd be the opposite, where she would just be completely beside herself that this child died under her care. Right?
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for that. I wonder if it's things have been shifted a little bit because at this point she's already under suspicion.
And she's trying
to be like, hey, this shit happens, guys. Come on, this happens.
This is normal.
I don't know. She's she's a fucking psycho. I'm sorry. I mean, that's not the correct language to use, but she is
Yeah. I would say as a professional in the industry.
Yeah, you had a year of psychology or semester.
Oh, no, it's just one semester, actually. But yeah, like I don't think evil exists. I ascribe to the Solzhenitsyn school of the line between good and evil cutting through the heart of every man. Not every woman, but but yeah, like it seems like some kind of mental breakdown, and yeah, we probably will never have a satisfactory answer.
I think that evil does exist, but I don't tend to describe this sort of thing usually, even if like it's a serial killer or whatever doing like really horrific stuff. That those kind of people I kind of tend to look at, like when I think about evil, I think about somebody who would, you know, engineer the execution of a huge number of people for like their personal career advancement and wealth. When I think of someone like this woman or like a serial killer, which I guess she probably counts as, I think of it more like a wolf, right? Like a predator, right? Like it's just some sort of thing, and that thing it like preys on a community, and you need to deal with that. You need to stop it. But I don't know realistically if somebody is making the decisions this person made, like I think what's going on in their head is probably something I can't comprehend. Whereas I can comprehend the kind of stuff that I call evil, right? I can comprehend someone being greedy. Yeah. I don't know what's going on in this case.
And I'll just, I think you'll agree with this, but as someone who like loves animals, you know, even like a wolf won't just kill a baby for no reason. Like a cat will. Like, let's be honest, a cat kills for fun. I love cats.
Cats do. Yeah, exactly.
Some animals
that's a good
do kill for
it, right?
fun. But I mean, like cat, in general,
or
humans
or
are the ones
something.
That.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But like in general, humans are the main species we know of that will kill for reasons that we can't quite easily deduce. You know.
No, she is fundamentally broken. Clearly, there's something.
Yeah, there's something deeply going on. Yeah, there's something like some reward pathway that's like, I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if there was something like structural going on in the brains of people who do stuff like that. I don't know. Yeah. It's like how, you know, there's arguments people will make, like clinicians who study them will make, that like there are structural differences in the brains of like pedophiles, right? Mm-hmm. And that like there's a wiring issue effectively. Which doesn't, you know, justify what they do, because there's a lot of people who have that wiring issue and don't actually molest kids. The whole deal.
Yeah.
Like, how do you deal with the fact that some people are going to be attracted to kids, and not necessarily, like, what scientifically can we try to do in order to ensure that of the population who have that going on in their brain, more of them avoid hurting kids, right? Like, how, and then, like, that's like a difficult question to answer. And I wonder if it's the same with someone like this, where it's like some people, there's just like, because I don't know, because sometimes there's something in their background that makes it seem like it makes sense. But a lot of serial killers, it's like, nothing I can point to that would make somebody do that shit, like, in their background.
Yeah. And we always want to find like that one thing that will explain it, because it helps us, I think, make sense of the world and maybe hope that there's a way that we can stamp it out. Like, if we can understand it, then we can fix it. But in reality, it's like sometimes these things are just complicated and fucked up, and people are complicated and fucked up.
She is certainly complicated and fucked up, at least that last part. I don't know if it's Munchausen by proxy or this or not. I mean, I don't know, but I will say this. I looked into this a little bit. I think it's a fascinating concept. In 2017, there's a journal, by the way, called Child Abuse and Neglect. That's a whole journal, which is whole thing to digest in of itself.
It turns out like they've actually had 20 editors over the last year, and 19 of them have killed themselves.
It's gotta be high turnover.
It's the worst job.
I gotta say, I bet the parties are wild. Like,
wild.
For one thing, wild. Hard drugs. Like, these people are not popping a bottle of champagne. They're powders, and they are not testing for fentanyl. They're like, I don't give a shit. I don't care what I take.
There's a lot of ketamine.
Don't forget your free cup of ketamine.
a lot of it. How the fuck? You need to disassociate to be the editor of that journal. So anyway, so they looked at people who had similar stories. They looked at people who had been diagnosed with Munchausen by proxy. And so they saw there's a couple of risk factors. I'm just going to share them with you guys. So a couple of risk factors for this are if there's been some weird pregnancy related complications, or if there's a mother who's abused as a child, or if there was some factitious disorder imposed on themselves. So these are all risk factors, as you might imagine. The average age of the affected individual was 4 years old. And most of these were about 24 months or younger. And 75% were 6 years. By the time of diagnosis, 6% of the affected people were dead, mostly from apnea, which is like smothering usually. So the mother was usually the perpetrator in about over 70% of cases. The father in about 6% of cases. The most frequently reported problems are apnea, like the patient stops breathing, anorexia, feeding problems, diarrhea, seizures, cyanosis, like the blue skin, behavior problems, asthma, allergy, fevers. A lot of these, as you might gather, are really nonspecific. They could be very easy to fake. Unfortunately, this is my message for medical professionals that are listening here. The healthcare providers play an active, albeit unfortunately, unintentional role in enabling this abuse, because a lot of the abuse comes from the procedures and tests that we as doctors put them through. And we do this by reacting to the concerns and the demands of the perpetrator. And you know, that's, we enter into, whether we know it or not, a partnership in this child's mistreatment. Look for certain behavior signs. Someone insisting on painful procedures or hospitalizations despite doctors saying it's not necessary. That's a tough line to follow, because sometimes patients and parents have to advocate for their kid. So that's tough. Repeated emergency office visits without objective findings. Doctor shopping, looking for a bunch of doctors until you find the right one. Not respecting professional boundaries. This is a big one. these patients or parents who are like reaching out to you on social media to talk to you, coming to your house, texting you on your personal phone. These are serious red flags you need to be looking for. And unfortunately, with social media, a lot of the stuff has been used for clicks. Like, can you imagine how many clicks you get when you talk about your sick kid that you're giving something to?
This is
a fucking terrifying. A pretty good documentary about a case like that. And it's called Mommy Dead and Dearest. It's like, it's pretty fucked up, but it was a pretty good documentary about that case.
Was that the, what's it, something Rose or?
I think it's the one this is the spoiler. It happened. Like
she ends up killing her parents.
And like, in my opinion, totally justified.
Yeah. I had the exact same.
I would have killed her too.
Good for her. Good for you.
I'm not mad about it. I'll probably watch that. So what will come of all this? What will come of Letby in the hospital? Letby is going to be serving a life sentence. She's going to be on a hospital ward for the first 6 months, probably 3 to 6 months, isolated pretty much all the time on suicide watch. I don't know if I told you guys this, but I actually did my 2 months of psychiatry rotation in a jail, basically working like in the jail system with these patients who are on suicide watch. Fascinating subject. It's a whole thing to talk about at some point.
All right.
But eventually,
future episode.
Eventually, she'll be afforded some privileges. She'll get some leisure time, I'm sure. But her interaction with the general population is going to be very limited, because I don't know if British people are extraordinarily different, but she would not do well in Gen Pop. In a jail in the United States.
Most people not from the get stories really I've offended heard. When you prey on children.
Yeah, she's not going to do well. Take that for what it's worth, if that helps as a little sort of like help this, a little sugar to help this episode go down with.
I know.
Recently, I watched that documentary about fucking Jared from Subway. I'm certainly not I don't make the prison rape jokes. I think that's really fucked up.
When
you've been doing what Jared does, I don't really care what happens to you. And there was a guy in the prison who like beat the hell out of him, who this is like the fifth or sixth child predator that he's gotten in trouble for beating up. And it was just like, this is just what I do in prison.
You got killed the time.
That Michael C. Hall show about like killing killers, where it's like,
Dexter.
Yeah, if you're gonna be like the Dexter of beating up child molesters in prison,
I'm not supporting like murdering an incarcerated person. I'm certainly not supporting sexual abuse. But like, do I think Jared deserved to get hit in the head? Like punched? Yes, absolutely. That's fine. Yeah. I don't have an issue with this.
I am really glad you bring that up though, because
Kaveh's going to get so many letters.
I do not like it when people make the prison rape jokes, and you see that a lot on the internet. Because one, our system, who knows if the right person is going to jail, but even if you were to take all that aside, the person that's in there getting like raped or whatever in prison, they're eventually most likely gonna get out of jail at some point. If that happens, that's a deeply disturbed person that we're putting back out onto the street. That's not good for the rest of civilization, I mean?
Where I land on this is like, sexual violence, there's never any reason for it to happen ever, but some people do need to get smacked, right? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes people need to get beaten up, I'm not saying like tortured, but if you molest a bunch of kids,
when Buzz Aldrin punched that moon denier in the face, like we all liked that. Exactly. We all liked that.
We all got behind that. We all got behind that. Yeah.
The whole legal system was like, no, we're not going to prosecute
Buzz. It's fine.
I don't care what you do. Like, just shut up.
But the video, it's a little pixelated. Can't figure out who that is.
You picked a fight with an astronaut, not only an astronaut, but one of the moon guys.
Right. Like, what are the two only thing we're all proud of
still? Like, there's not a lot every American feels good about, and the moon landing's basically it.
Like, if it had been the third guy to walk on the moon, he would have been in jail. Dude.
What was it, Michael Collins or some shit? No, fuck you could, him. Like, yeah, we'd throw, my, we'd throw his ass in prison. Fuck him.
In prison. But not the second guy. Like, we fucking love
one of those
him.
Apollo 13 astronauts. I think we should have put him in prison anyway. They wasted a good right. rocket.
They fucked it up there. Jeez.
Yeah. Fucking. Yeah. I forget all of their names, so I don't know.
Thank you. Yeah, same.
You guys, I really appreciate you guys. This is such a fucked up same. Thing. I couldn't even
this
imagine.
This was really fucked up. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning like sweating bullets about what horrible feedback I'm going to get from the jokes we made today, but I had a good time. Dead babies.
It's all worth. I mean, as, Robert,
as George Lucas said, we went a little far in some places.
I mean, Robert, I don't know how you do this shit. Like, honestly, one episode of looking into this was hard on me and probably did cause me some brain damage. So God bless you for doing what you do. And thank you so much, both of you, for coming on to help me process this and this fucking horrid evil person that we discussed today. That was really
of you guys. Allow me to thank you for introducing me to Robert, who I like a little bit better than you, and we've already got another Zoom going, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
I expected that. That is totally okay. And speaking of things outside of me, let's talk about you guys. Let's get some plugs in because I love you guys both so much. And you guys both provide me so much of my actual entertainment on a day-to-day basis. Like your videos, Rebecca, your podcast, Robert. I mean, honestly, I use them all the time. I love them. I listen to them and watch them. So Rebecca, let's start with you. Tell me where people can find you, please.
I'm at Rebecca Watson on YouTube and on Twitter/X, whatever.
Don't call it that.
I'm around. You can go to skepchick.org, skepchick.org, and you can find all the places to find me. That's all.
I've said this many times before. Her videos are absolute must watch. They're really good. They're where I get the ideas for half of my episodes. Listen to the podcast that Rebecca and I have called Girls on Boys.
It's yes, and do about... listen to Girls on Boys. And, we're going to have to start that up again. There's a new season coming out, I think. Yeah. I don't know what's happening with the strikes, but...
So it's a show we'll about... It's a podcast about the show, The Boys, which Rebecca and I both love. Robert, you should come on as a guest for one of our episodes. But Robert,
I have a lot to say about Eric Kripke, so I'm down.
Interesting. Okay, save it for an episode. Save it. But Robert is the host of Behind the Bastards, which is one of the podcasts which inspired me to do podcasting in the first place. And it's brilliant. I've been listening to it for years and it has kept my attention the whole time. If you aren't listening to it, I demand you to listen to Behind the Bastards. Robert, outside of Behind the Bastards, which people can find pretty much everywhere, can you tell us also about your books?
I have a book called After the Revolution. You can buy it wherever books are sold.
And is there a potential sequel coming out?
One day, theoretically.
And you're working on that, right?
Kaveh's trying to get the exclusive.
Exclusive?
I'm like 115 words into the fucker.
nice.
It's a real pain in the ass.
The first book was really good. And in fact, Rebecca, I was going to tell you, you should take a look at that book, because what I was thinking about doing was, because he releases these like chapter by chapter, like he'll do a recording of it. I was thinking we could do a show also about the book, where we talk about the book. Anyways, just take a listen to it. Tell me what you think. We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about it later. Yeah.
Neither here nor there. We have a lot to do. Anyways. Thank you both. It's such a pleasure having you both on. I'm super happy and grateful for both of you guys and all the work that you do. Thank you to Nadim for help with production, and thank you to everyone who has left a review on iTunes. If you haven't done that,
please do that. I appreciate that. Helps get listeners to the show. Thank you both so much. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Please consult a physician or other qualified healthcare provider for your specific healthcare needs or concerns. The opinions expressed on this podcast do not represent the opinions of our employees. Details in the podcast have been changed so that patient identification is not possible. And I'm alive and I want to stay. For the first time I'm on my way. And I'm ready for the world. I'm ready for the girl. I'm ready to save. And I'm alive and I want to stay. For the first time I'm on my way. And I'm ready for the world. I'm ready to burn this fire within. Let's begin.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.